Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for making it possible for us to be here together again. As we go into the Word, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly, but my heart, my lips, so I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, as well as those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely, Father, from you, through me, to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I further pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring another treasure of this word, things new and old. Indeed, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, amen. We're continuing our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Hopefully, we'll finish this chapter today. And this is the great chapter on tongues, prophecy, orderly, public use of tongues and prophecy and the gifts of the Spirit. In our last lesson, we stopped in verse 25, where he was saying that, look, when you pray in tongues, people don't understand what you're saying. You know, it is a sign to the unbeliever, because the unbelievers are, wow, what's this? You know, but when you now interpret the tongues, or if not you or somebody else, and the secrets of that person's heart is made known, then the person will say, ah, truly God is in this place. But if you just speak in tongues and nobody understands what you're saying, you know, and then especially if you do it in a disorderly fashion, which sadly is been the practice of many, many Christians. This is why this thing was written. You know, many times, like Papa Ralph used to say, our zeal eats up our wisdom. In your zeal to want to serve God, you want to pray in tongues, yeah, you should. But, you know, you have to do it decently and in order. You don't just do it, you know, if you do it in a disorderly fashion, it brings disrepute because people think you're mad. You know, I do this by the grace and the mercy of God when I'm in a public place. And depending on who I am with, it depends on who I am with. If I know these ones are Christians and they know about tongues, even if they don't pray in tongues much, I can pray in tongues. If I'm with unbelievers who don't know, I don't pray in tongues. I just pray in the understanding and say amen. And it's very important that we use all these things. They're wonderful, powerful spiritual weapons and tools, but they have to be used properly. And that's the purpose of this chapter 14. You know, Paul said, you know, the way to get these things in operation is, number one, follow after love. Let love be your motivation and be working on that. He says, with that in the background as a foundation, then you now desire spiritual gifts. And of all the spiritual gifts, the one that is most, it's not that it's the most important, but the one that you should pursue first is prophecy, which is equivalent to tongues and interpretation. And we explained in our last lesson that practically what that means is that you pray a lot in tongues. Paul said so. He said, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. I would that you all speak in tongues. If you do a lot of praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit will give you the interpretation. You remember, it is an interpretation, it is not a translation. In other words, he will tell you the essence of what you'll be saying when you pray in tongues, which is what happens when you begin to read your Bible. You find that the Bible begins to open up to you. You begin to get insight and revelation all through these years, I've been practicing these things since I got baptized in the Holy Spirit 44 years ago now. It's 1979. You know, praying in tongues. I, but the grace of God which is with me, and I'm saying it so that it can be an example and you can follow my example. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, I want to encourage every single one of you. If you're not a full-time pastor, that is, you're not a full-time, you should pray averagely 1 to 3 hours in tongues every day. If you're in full-time ministry, you should be praying 3 to 5 hours every day. Because that's going to have to cover when you go and preach, you know, and then your family and all of those things. You know, this is what works. This is what works, and it can be done. It's not a question of priorities. If you make up your mind that's what you want to do, then, you know, for those who are not in full-time ministry and you have a secular job, it means getting up early in the morning. Thank God for good morning, Jesus. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. That gives you an avenue through which you can pray in tongues for at least 1.5 to 2 hours. You know, and the reason why the early morning is so strategic is there are two main reasons for that. The first one is that nobody can distract you early because most people are sleeping or they themselves are just getting up. You know, the phone is not going to ring, you know, except God forbid in occasionally when there's an emergency. But apart from that, that time is usually free. You know, before all the hustle and bustle of everyday life comes in. And, you know, Jesus taught these things because that's what he practiced. You see it in the Bible. It says he got up a great while before the day. And the Bible says in the days of his flesh. It's not only in the 3 years of ministry, which he did, but even before then, you know, when he was a young man, when he was in his teenage years, you know, in his early 20s, and he was growing up in Nazareth, he was working. He worked a secular job. He was working in the carpenter's shop with his dad, you know, stepfather, Joseph. So he'd get up early in the morning, he'd go and pray, then he'd come and, you know, go to work like everybody else, you know. And we need to practice that. Because if you don't pray a lot in tongues, I can tell you from personal experience as well as by revelation from God's word, you're going to limit the amount of revelation you're going to get. It's just going to write it down. Not only that, you're going to limit the quality of your Christian life. I was meditating on my own life, you know, in these last few days, and I was very grateful and thankful to God that God had mercy on me for me to even hear this truth from the right sources, Brother Hagen, you know, and others. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, well, through my pastor, and all the great guys, all the people who went far with God, they prayed a lot in tongues. You know, if you don't pray in tongues a lot, you're not going to, you know, that's why I said especially prophecy. So tongues and the corresponding resulting interpretation together form prophecy. As you grow spiritually, you can actually prophesy directly without going through tongues and interpretation. But ordinarily, it's tongues and interpretation. And that's what the Apostle Paul is teaching us here. And from Jesus' example, Jesus would get up, you know, pray. And then he would go to the carpenter's shop. Then later on, when he went to full-time ministry, you know, he'll come down from the mountain or from the wilderness, wherever he went to pray. And he used to pray in private. And now I understand that because he used to pray in tongues and they wouldn't have understood it. Nobody would have understood it then. You know, he was praying in tongues and groanings. He said he offered up prayers and suffering with strong crying and tears, according to Hebrews chapter 5. You know, then he would come, you know, if he was in ministry, he would go to the temple, he would teach, he would minister to people, he would heal the sick, he would raise the dead. All in the business of one day, praise the Lord, you know. And then, you know, that was how he did it. And if you and I want to grow to the fullness of Christ, I want to be like him, you've got to practice those things. Otherwise, you're going to limit. And in my book, Practical Guide to Prayer, which we wrote over 30 years ago, I believe it was in 1987, we wrote that book, which would be 35, 30. 6 years this year, you know, I called it the limit breaker. If you don't pray in tongues, you're going to limit yourself. Don't pray in tongues a lot, please. Let me correct that. I know every person who's baptized in the Holy Spirit speaks in tongues. I'm not talking about just speaking in tongues, a few syllables, you know, every day when you're brushing your teeth. You know, go and change and go to school, go to work. A lot of people think that speaking in tongues, or, you know, also, you know, if, a few words in tongues, just worship God and I've spoken in tongues. Yes, you have, but you've not done it properly. The Bible didn't say that. He said the effect of fervent prayer. And then thank God for Paul and thank God for, you know, the revelation of God's word. He said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more. Everybody scream, speak in tongues more. I didn't hear you. Now turn to your neighbor, you and I must speak in tongues more than what we're doing now. And give yourselves a clap offering. Amen. This small tongue is not going to work. It's not going to produce the results God wants. So it's when you pray a lot in tongues, you will find, by this is what I found in practice. You know, when I look back now to the glory of God, at, you know, I look at, you know, I go to the website, I look at the weekly Rhema. I myself feed on those things, even though I wrote them. I feed on them. I'm being honest with you. I'm not, you know, I'll even have forgotten I wrote such a thing, you know. And I'll look at it again, you know, and say, wow, where did I get all this stuff from? This thing, tongues and interpretation. Because I used to pray a lot in tongues. Then when I'm reading my Bible, that's where the interpretation comes, you know, because the word of God begins to open up. It opens, the scriptures open, my understanding opens, and that's how I download, literally is download, just like computer. I download those messages. Then I look back and say, where in the world did I get this from? You know, how did I even think of that? Then I now realize it was God. You know, it's God. And it's not unique to me. It's not, oh, Pastor Lubis has a special calling, you know, along look way, you know, in our language, that means God who called him. You can't compare yourself to Pastor Lubis. You know it's God who called him. He had a special calling. It's a lie. God's called all of us. That amen was not very convincing. I said, God has called all of us. All. Without exception. And all of us need to fulfill this calling. Pray a lot in tongues and read your Bible. If you don't read your Bible, you're not going to get the interpretation. That's the whole purpose. The tongues opens the Bible. It opens the scriptures, like Jesus said, opens your understanding. And when you now read your Bible, you just begin to see things you didn't see before. I've told you this story before, but I'll repeat it again for example and so that you can be inspired to copy my example. 3 years, from 1981 to 1984, when I came back from England in 1980, I worked with Brother Emeko for 1 year. Then God said, go and get a job, you know, so you can be in a real-life situation. So when you start preaching, you won't be preaching theory to people. He actually told me that. So I got a teaching job. It took me some time, about 9 months. You know, I didn't have a job. It was my friends, you know, that God used to be able to, that were, you know, supporting me. You know, in those days, there were no churches. There was only IVCU, the University of Ibadan Christian Fellowship, which everybody went to. A few people would go to Chapel of Resurrection, but in those days, most of the priests weren't born again. They didn't preach anything. Then Orita Mefa, you know, with Pastor Lee, who at that time would say some nice things, but generally speaking, most people, they would just come at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Everybody's in the chapel, you know, on Sundays I'm talking about, you know. And so most of the tithes, because they were people thought about tithes, they used to give it to the fellowship. And then some of my friends would get together and, you know, give me a little bit of their money. And, you know, so that's how I survived, you know, for those 9 months, you know. But throughout that time, and then after, even after when I got the job, the teaching job, in a place called Kutai, you know, it's near Igbo-Ilirin somewhere, you know. this is what I was doing. I pray a lot in tongues, you know. Then in the evenings or later in the day, you know, that when I wasn't working, you know, once the other people have, you know, my friend has gone to university, you know, he was a postgraduate student. I hadn't yet transferred at that time. I was still teaching, you know, before I was teaching. I would read my Bible. But when I read my Bible, you know, I start getting revelation. I wrote it all down. I, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me, I finished Romans, you know, I did the Pauline Revelation, to the whole book of Revelation, finished it in 3 years, you know, I'll write notes. I myself, I'm telling you this to inspire you and to encourage you. Don't think this is just for pastors, it's for everybody, you know. I myself, you know, would be amazed at what I'm writing. Then I realize this is God, it's not me. You know, I would, you know, Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 2, Romans, those, they're still in our church office. All those notes, I finished it in 3 years. It is that I now used when we started Scripture Pasture, that I started to teach. I taught Romans, I taught Hebrews, I taught Ephesians, this First Corinthians that I'm teaching again. You know, that's what I've done over the years. There's no magic about this thing. If you pray a lot in tongues, and you read your Bible, and I must add this, I didn't say it, but I need to add it, follow after love. And I was. I learned that from Kenneth Hagin and E.W. Kenyon, you know, both of them. You know, so every day I would meditate and say, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8, I endure long and I'm patient and kind. So it was on that track. Now, looking back, I now know, you know, it was the Holy Spirit who was leading me, because the love is very important. If you don't walk in love, the Bible will still stay, even if you pray in tongues. The Bible says, though I speak in tongues of men, if I have no love, it's not going to profit. So that's why some people pray a lot in tongues, and then this thing doesn't happen. They say, oh, it doesn't work. It works. It's because it's what we could call a three combination lock. If you have the tongues and you don't have the love, it won't work. If you have the love and you don't have the tongues, it won't work. You have to have the love, you have to have the tongues, and then you have to have the Bible. It's when you have the three of them in place. You know, I didn't know all of this then. I was just led by the Holy Spirit and I was doing it. And that's how everything I know today, it all came. Life scriptures, Pauline revelation, everything. It's tongues and interpretation. And it's not unique to me. Anybody, any child of God who wants to truly serve God, you know, can do this. But it will cost you. It's going to cost you time. And like we were teaching the other day, the narrow way. You've got to put away. Otherwise, those things will be a distraction. They won't allow it. It's one of the reasons why God brought me back from England. Now, looking back now, if I stayed in England, I'd have had too many distractions. And I know that I've been able to do that thing. And it was a window in my life. If I had missed that window, I'm talking about those years. Those were my early 20s. I was 22, 23, 24, 25. I got married when I was 26. You know, those were critical. If I missed those years, it would have been difficult for me to find the time again to do those things. It was the foundation I got on those things that I was able to now do those two things. Number one, start the church. Number two, get married and have the power of God and revelation in sufficient measure to be able to overcome the challenges that are still going to come, that were still further down the road in my life that I hadn't yet seen. And it's not just for Luby Johns, for everybody. And that's why the Bible tells us, you know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, you know, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. Now, I know that some of us, I preached this last time, you know, didn't get to know God early. You know, maybe you didn't get born again until your 30s, 40s, some people 50s, 60s. You know, it doesn't matter. You can still make up for that time. The principles still remain the same. You know, now you know then you've got to look at your circumstances and all of that. Make up your mind, you know. Make the time available. Get up early in the morning. Do your praying in the spirit. Have your Bible always with you. Thank God for modern technology. You now have the, you know, you've got the SPCC mobile app. I wish somebody had given that to me back then, but there was no mobile app then. You know, you can have your time. Yeah, if you really want to do it, you will do it. You read your Bible, you know. In between, you know, when you're on the way to work or you're on the way to Lagos, you're going for a business meeting, you know, you've got 2 hours. What are you doing? You're on the train. Now I have train in Nigeria. What are you, you know what people are doing? Sometimes they will sleep. Sometimes they will just be looking around, you know, time, precious time that can be used. If you can't say amen, say oh me. A lot of people are saying, oh, me in their heart. You know, that would have been used. And then you'll be, and now you also, by the grace and the mercy of God, you've got a church and a pastor who's telling you some of these things. So you just find out what God is revealing to you will be dovetailing what you're hearing in church. It happened to me as a young Christian, you know, and in the later years, I discovered, in fact, for many years, many of us here who follow Kenneth Copeland, you know, this Kenneth Copeland has his daily something. You many times, what we're saying in church and what they're saying just, and it's never planned. It's the Holy Ghost. Same illustrations. Say, because it's the same Holy Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free. You know, the law of lift, you know, Kenneth Copeland taught that I taught it. I first heard him in 1980 in camp meeting in Tulsa. But God had said it to me when I was in Imperial College. So what I'm trying to say to you is if you pray, that's the essence of this chapter 14. You know, you need to use tongues and interpretation or prophecy, you know, in this manner. A lot of praying in tongues, walking in love, reading your Bible, then the Bible will open up to you. It will open up to you, you know. And you just be getting all kinds of understanding and mess that you will know yourself that is beyond you. I quoted a scripture, I think it was last week or on Wednesday. It said, know ye not that Christ is in you except you be reprobates. You know, if inside you yourself cannot say convincingly, then there's something wrong with you. He says, you're a reprobate. Christ is in me. I'm 100% sure that Jesus is coming in the glory of God and all these things we're talking about. How? Because it's inside me. It's happening inside me. You know, there's this growth and this, it's about, you know, they talk about building up. The thing is happening. It's happening. I can see him coming in me. Some time ago it was here. Now it's up here. You know, it's coming up. You can have the same. It's not just for Olubi Johnson or any other so-called special anointed man of God. We're all anointed. All of us. Of course, we have different levels of anointing. Don't forget that one. Don't run off with that. You know, you hear that, and the next person there, like Pastor Wally, many years ago, you know, and said God told him to go and start a ministry. Pastor Wally is sure covering his head in shame. We were still in Bodija National School then. I'll show you how far back it was. And Pastor Wally comes up to me and said, Pastor, I think God has called me. I said, yeah, I know God's called you. So he said, God told him you should go and do something. I said, it's not God who's telling you that. You know. Well, what I'm saying is this thing is available to everybody. But it's the reason why many don't do it is because of the price. And most people don't want to pay that price. Love, ever say love? Praying in tongues, Bible reading, and hearing. See, as I was reading, I was also listening. I was listening to Kenneth Hagin. I was listening to E.W. Kenyon through his books, you know. I was listening to people like Bill Britton. I was listening to people like George Warnock, you know. All this great revelation, you know. Or Pa Elton. So all those things, I could appreciate them. I remember when Papa Ralph, and since then today is Papa Ralph's birthday. I'm going to call him that today. Papa Ralph is 70 years old today. He was born in 1953. His 70th birthday, so I must call him later today. You know, yeah, and it just so happens. You know, and I remember when Ralph first came to Nigeria, you know, it was Brother Bankole Akimola that brought him. You know, he came, you know, he took him to Lagos, he went to some churches, then he went to Ilorin and went to some places. You know, then the last place he came was Scripture Pasture. You know, and that's when he preached that message. I think it was when he preached, you know, perfection. You know, and he taught from Elijah and the building of the altar. I remember, still remember that message. You know, there's so many you can never forget. You know, and how the fire came down. You know, how Elijah took stones, you know, and built an altar. Then he laid the wood in order. I still remember. It was 1990. That's how many years ago? 33 now. He laid the wooden altar. Then he created something that could take 2 measures of seed, you know, a trench. Then he now put water, you know, 3 barrels or 4 barrels, and he did it 3 times to make it 12. But you know what? As he was saying all those things, I had already received some of them. That's what a prophet does. Confirms, clarifies, and amplifies. So all he did was to confirm to me that, you know, then he now taught on the man-child company. How many people remember? You know, and what else did he say? You know, lovely things. The whole church was screaming because I had taught some of those things, you know, some months before, you know. And he told me, he said, OJ, if I hadn't come to Coast Scriptures, I'd never come back to Nigeria. He said, because nobody understood what I was talking about. He said, all the other places I went, he said, you know, they're just looking at me funny. He said, if he didn't come to Scripture Pasture, he said, he told Banks, no, I'm not coming back. He said, but after coming to Scripture Pasture and getting the kind of confirmation that he got, you know, then he started, and they came every year for the next 12 or 13, 14 years. Let's give Papa Ralph a super clap offering. Amen. But the point I'm making is this. If I had not done my homework, so to speak, I don't know how stood what Papa Ralph was talking about. But everybody in Nigeria was just talking about faith, confession, healing, and prosperity. That's all everybody. And Papa Ralph was talking far above that. Was talking perfection and the fullness of Christ, you know, using types and shadows that people didn't know anything about. But yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me, had enabled me because I had been praying a lot in tongues, interpretation, reading my Bible. So all those things, I already knew them, but his coming now clarified, he made it clearer, amplified it, added to what I had. And that's the whole purpose of the prophetic ministry. The prophetic ministry is not fortune telling. It's not going to tell you. What would have been the use of Papa Ralph coming to tell me that, you know, I'm going to say a very funny one. In 2014, you're going to buy a G-Wagon. Which I did, but that's stupid, you know. How would that help me spiritually? Of what benefit is that to us spiritually? It did happen. But that's not what the prophet is for. He did prophesy that I would prosper, but he didn't go into other. They're not necessary. If that's what you're looking for in the prophet, you're going to miss road. What you should be listening for is the stones of Elijah, you know, and the trench. And the 12 barrels of water. What does that mean? And I laid the wood in order. What does that mean? But if you don't have a foundation, it just, pew, pew, just go over your head. So that's the purpose of tongues interpretational, combined called prophecy, and love. Now, it's sad, it's very sad, Pastor G, but that is one of the things that is usually left out. Everybody wants power. You have people say, oh, pray in tongues for 10 hours. But if you don't put love there, the devil is going to talk to you. How many people know the devil too speaks in tongues? As long as where is that in the Bible? The Bible says I speak in tongues of men and of angels, even fallen angels. Tongues is not, it's Satan can speak in tongues. Went very quiet. Are you still on my side? So, now let's look at verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, he's talking about public worship. Every one of you has a psalm, I didn't hear you, has a doctrine or teaching, has a tongue, that's an utterance in tongues, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. What Paul is saying here, and you know, the Pentecostal church has lost this. It's going to be restored with the glory that is coming. You know, I remember as a young Christian, when I was in Pastor Porter's church in London, you know, I've told you this story many times. You know, I would give an utterance in tongues. Mrs. Porter will interpret. I'll give an utterance in tongues. Pastor Porter will interpret. It didn't happen every Sunday, but it was very regular. It was like maybe at least once every 2 weeks. You know, either me or Mrs. Porter or Pastor Porter. Pastor Porter sometimes will give the utterance. Mrs. Porter will interpret. Sometimes it will be Pastor Porter who will give the Mrs. Porter who would give the tongues and have her husband would interpret. At that time, I was still coming up, you know. So sometimes I'll give the utterance, Miss Porter will. That's how I got close to them, you see, you know. And they would interpret, you know. And I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. You know, he was in his, he has a book. This, I'm sure that they still have it. It's called, you know, Holy Spirit. It's one big red book like this. It talks about all the 9 gifts of the Spirit. I devoured that book. And this is what Ken Hagin said. He said, learn to use prophecy in private with worship. That is, you sing in tongues, then you sing the interpretation. He said, if you learn that and you become sensitive to the Spirit, then it will be easy for you to operate tongues and interpretation in public. And I can never forget, he used this illustration. He said, it's the difference between driving a car and driving a truck. If you know, you can drive a car because the car is light. Then if you want to drive a bus, a bigger something, you need to know how to drive a small car first. Otherwise, you can't drive a bigger car. I can never forget. Just use that simple illustration. I said, So when I started practicing it, I now saw the correlation. Yeah, I said, this is what Ken Hagin taught us. This is what Ken Hagin said. Yeah. So I would speak in tongues, you know, and interpret. You know, occasionally, we would have some of the elders. I remember we had some of the elders, some of them were West Indian. It was a great church because we had diversity. We Nigerians, English, white American, Dutch. You know, London is a cosmopolitan place. So, you know, then we had the West Indians, you know, and all of that. And I remember Brother Hugh, you know, he's probably dead now because he must have been back then. Brother Hugh must have been in his late 50s or 60s. That's 40 years ago. So he's probably about 100 now if he's still alive. I don't know. You know, and he would also do tongues and interpretation. You know, hardly a service. There was hardly a service we would have. I'm about to interpret this scripture. That there would not be some manifestation of the Spirit. Apart from the preaching and the praise and the worship. You know, usually it came on the wings of praise and worship. After we do the praise and worship and people just sit down, you know, maybe Mrs. Porter should just get up and give a tongue, you know, then the husband will come interpret. Or maybe it's Brother Hugh, you know, there was another old lady, Sister Starkey. She came from South Africa, white South African. You know, she was elderly. She was, Sister Starkey must have been in her late 80s and 90s, you know, somewhere in there. I used to go and shop for her and, you know, buy things for her and all that. That's how I used to serve in that church. See, all that, oh, that is important to God. Many of this generation know nothing. You know, everybody just want to ride V-boot and G-Wagon. You know, it's not like that. You know how many years before I started, got that one? You have to be faithful first. So Sister Starkey, she sometimes would, you know, give an utterance in tongues. And I can never forget, she always, you know, jibed me because she liked me a lot. Because I used to, you know, because she was old, so she couldn't go to the shop. So I'll go take her list, groceries, buy everything, go on my bike, take it to her house, you know, to serve her. So she really liked me. She called me my son, you know. And she said to me, he said, Brother Luby, I like your prayer. When you pray, the place is hot. You know, there were beautiful times. But the thing is, every one of you hath a psalm, a doctrine. That's when we preach and teach, teaching like I'm doing. A tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. So it was in that church, that small Assemblies of God church, up practically every Sunday, there was one manifestation or the other. Not every, you know, it may not be the same thing each Sunday. Either tongues and interpretation or prophecy or somebody was saying, I still remember it was in that church I heard this Psalm 19, you know. The meditation of the Lord, that you remember that? Yeah, I'm sure Bidemi can sing it, but don't sing it now. Praise the Lord. The word, thank you, Pastor Andrew. The word of the Lord. That's the first place I heard it. And what happened? One of the young people, I think it was my friend, you know, he had a guitar, and he said God has given him a song. Then he, you know, Pastor Porter said, come, you know, have a song, a psalm. The word of the Lord is strong. Beautiful. Ah! And there's the presence of God just filled the place. That is how true Pentecostal worship should be. Today we do. We're almost dead. All we just get is preaching, and most of the preaching is stories. And so-called testimony for covetousness. The Spirit of God is Ichabod. But it's going to be restored. It's going to be restored. In this church, by the grace of God, we see a little bit of this, you know. Sometimes, you know, during our worship, we'll have tongues, have interpretations. Sometimes the choir will come and they will minister by the Spirit. That's how it should be. They should, when we gather together, there should be some manifestation of the presence of God in anointed worship, in anointed teaching and preaching, in prophecy, or tongues and interpretation. So that God is in our midst. It disappeared. Well, don't let me too harsh. It went down to a very, you know, Pastor Andrew will remember this, you know, and some of the brethren who were around, you know, because Pastor Andrew, you know, used to be a Baptist, but God changed him. You know, he was in Kayet, you know, he was a young boy then. And then he came to Scripture Pastor, you know, and in the, you know, those who may have been around, most of them, you know, probably won't be here. You know, who went to IVCU, you know, Mommy Syria will know this. You know, there was hardly, they used to have this fellowship every Sunday in the evening. There was hardly a meeting where there will not be a manifestation of the Spirit of God. There will be the teaching, there will be the preaching, there will be the praise and worship. Then there will be, you know, it might just be in the middle of fellowship. One person will just be at the corner, like that, just giving, utterance in tongues. Somebody else will just give an interpretation. Or sometimes there will be a prophecy. But I noticed something. 83, 84, 85, 86, 87. Was that scripture, Pastor? By then, the manifestation in the fellowship started going down. Because they didn't follow after love. And it now became showmanship. Then they started using it for money. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. You know, and he doesn't like, he just withdraw. So most of what we just had was just, you know, the Bible says, a tinkling cymbal. It's noise. With that Spirit of God. But it used to be. He used to be strong in the fellowship in UI, you know, through people like Brother Emiko. Let's give Brother Emiko a super clap offering. You know, Brother Emiko, when he was president, then Joe Olari Waju. Joe Olari just been here before. My friend, you know, Fred Adegoke, you know, Friday Beki, you know, from mid-70s, 76, 77, you know, right till, you know, the late 80s, that thing was there. But after the late 80s, and most people went out, you know, graduated, went to go and start their churches and ministries, and got into this covetous stream. It stopped. It went down. Today, you hardly see this. But this is normal Pentecostal or charismatic meeting. There should be a manifestation of the Spirit in one form or the other. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. He's given us guidelines as to how to operate in a public assembly. If there is an utterance in tongues, you know, it should be by two or at most by three. There's a reason why Paul wrote this. Because, you know, people were so childish spiritually. And, you know, that's why I was in them. You know, somebody comes and think you're mad. Just get up and pick it up. No. He said, that by course. Like one person gives an utterance. You wait. Is there anybody in interpretation? There's an interpretation, it comes. You know? Say two, three. Say that's enough for a service. Not, you know, everybody now wants to. We should, when we come for a prayer meeting to pray in tongues, that's a different matter, like we do on Tuesdays. But when there is a public worship like this, you know, if there's a utterance in tongues, you know, then there should be an interpretation or a prophecy. You know, he said by two, at most by three. He said let one interpret, because you see, interpretations are interpretations; they are not translations. And depending on the level of the person's spiritual capacity and development, some interpretations can be more accurate than others. So as not to have competition, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin, in interpretation, in the church, let one person interpret. So there's no, someone will give an interpretation, another person give an, let one person interpret. You know, and usually you would pick, if you have that gift, you know, and you're sensitive to the Spirit, you can actually pick the interpretation yourself. Even before the person gives it. And then you can compare. But you don't do that publicly so that there's no, you know, you can compare. I remember we had a prophet that came, well, he had a prophetic anointing. Dennis. It was Dennis who gave a prophetic word for me when I was coming to Nigeria, you know, in 19. He was from Scotland. So he wasn't, he used Assemblies of God, but he used to come to that church in London occasionally, but not all the time. But it so happened that around that time I was coming back to Nigeria, he started coming to the church. And the evening they prayed for me, Dennis walks in. You know, Pastor Porter is praying for me with the elders, Pastor Hugh, Brother Hugh and some of the other elders, just to pray for me, for God to bless me as I was going back to Nigeria to go and obey the call of God. Dennis comes in from the back. At the time, mommy, it's good to see you. You know, Dennis comes back from the back, from the back, you know, and he just joins because he, you know, Pastor Porter knows him, you know, so he just joins them in praying for me. Pastor Porter and others finish praying, and Dennis begins to prophesy, you know, and brings a prophetic word. I still have it in my church office. I wrote it down, you know, I got him to write it down for me, you know, about my life, my ministry, blah, 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 you know. Most of it has come to pass. Some of it is still in the future, you know. So what I'm saying is that, you know, when there is, when this thing is, when the Holy Spirit is allowed to move, you know, by creating the right atmosphere through intercession, through walking in love, proper worship, you create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to be able to move. And we used to have a lot of it in IVCU. But sadly, it died out. You know, mommy will remember. I'm glad mommy's here now. You know, when she got born again, 1983, 1984, they'll go and pray in the woods. When they go to IVCU, usually there'll be one prophetic word or the other. And you see, at that time, leadership is also very important. At that time, the person God was using to provide covering for the campus fellowship was Pa Elton. It wasn't called a church, but that's what it is. What's a church? It's people. It's saints. Do you understand? If they're going to choose a new executive, they will choose it among themselves, but then they will go to Elisha. And Pa will say, this is okay. If Pa says it's not okay, it's not okay. Yes. Then whenever they're going to do the ordination, Pa Elton will come from Elisha. Then he would preach and he would lay hands on them. Looking back now, I now understand. You see, at least these two universities, Ife and Ibadan, were really under Pa Elton's covering. That was why we had the kind of orderly worship and manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit that we were seeing, you know, that really, probably in some other places, they didn't see them. Leadership is very, very critical. So, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, but let one interpret. You know, if there be no interpreter, verse 29, am I talking to anybody here? If I'm talking to you, give me a wave offering. Good. But if there be no interpreter, that is, if somebody gives an utterance in tongues, and there is nobody in church who can interpret it, who's picked the interpretation by the Spirit, he said, let him keep silence. Don't just keep talking. Brrr, decent and in order. You know, let him speak to himself and to God. Just quietly, just pray in tongues. These things are very, very important. He says, verse 29, let the prophets. Notice this is a little bit different from just prophesying tongues and interpretation. These are people who have a prophetic anointing. Speak two or three and let the other judge. So when you have developed people who have developed prophetic anointings, I don't like to use the title prophet. That's the truth about the matter. It's really developed prophetic anointings. They can get up inside a church service and they can say, this is what God is saying. And they give a word. You know, mommy does that sometimes here, you know. Sometimes I do. Sometimes, you know, we have people who do, you know, give a prophetic word, you know. It says, let them speak. Two or three. Again, not too many. So that the service does not go into confusion. You know? And let the other judge. In other words, if one prophet speaks, the other prophets too can judge. Because they too have the Holy Spirit. So they can check. Make sure that, you know, everything that is said is okay. Look at what he says. He says, if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. So one prophet can talk. You know, and give an utterance, you know, and he sits down. Then another person can receive something either as an amplification or a spin-off from what that other person has said, and the other one too will speak. These are the things, he said, and let the first hold his peace. In other words, let the other person be quiet. You must not have noise and confusion. And this one talk, you know. That's the devil. We're going to see this. His last scripture, he says here, let all things be done decently and order. You know, God gives in tongues. You keep quiet. Then when he finishes, if you have something, God will, you know, allow you to say your own, you know. But the whole purpose of everything is to edify the church in love. That's the whole purpose. It's not to come and show off spiritual gifts. It's not to come and compete with each other and say, he has gone. I will say my own today without no anointing. Just to try and prove that you have anointing. Verse 31. For you may all prophesy, I didn't hear you, one by one, that all may learn and that all may be comforted. Here, you see the purpose of prophecy. It's, you know, exhortation, edification, and comfort. You know, when prophetic words come, they comfort the church, encourage, strengthen. So all of us can. Notice there's a difference between prophets and everybody. Everybody can. Everybody who is a Christian, who has the Holy Spirit, can speak in tongues, interpret, and prophesy to some degree. You know, but again, it should be done under proper supervision and proper order, not just haphazard, you know. And the spirits of the prophets, I didn't hear you, are subject to the prophets. This thing that the Holy Ghost is moving me and I cannot control it is the devil. The true Holy Spirit will never, ever, ever force. You have control. And I say, sit down. You can't keep quiet. We should carry you out. That's not the Holy Spirit. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And in the experiences I had, you know, in England and also here, you know, in a orderly assembly, there's never any problem. You know, if you're speaking in tongues and somebody else wants to speak in tongues, you will speak in tongues at the same time. There's never confusion. The Holy Spirit will let one person finish, then the other person will start. The spirit of the prophet are subject to the prophet. Verse 33. For God, everybody read this scripture after me, is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, every Pentecostal should write that scripture down. What do you find in many of our places? Confusion. How many people have seen this before? I'm sure you've seen it. I'll just, you know, use it as an example. The man of God is talking, and somebody just starts speaking in tongues. You know, like I'm talking now. Then also in the corner there, he didn't wait for me to finish. You know? As I'm talking, that person starts speaking down, and then starts shaking in the middle of the service and rolling. He's manifesting. You know? And the person, you know. That's not God. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Did you notice something Jesus did? Honey, you know what Jesus did? He was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. So as he began, that devil was on one person. He said, you know, you are the Holy One of God. He said, shut up. That's the modern translation. He said, hold thy peace and come out of him. God is not the author of confusion. Jesus never encouraged talking to devils. He cast them out. Holding a conversation with the devil, then the whole church goes into turmoil. And everybody, have you in those kind of services? You see all of them screaming and shouting, and they will tell you, there was anointing in that service. You know, there was deliverance. That's not how God operates. The Spirit of God. Pastor Wally was, you know, using a daily rhema recently. It's called about enforcing the kingdom. See, that's why intercession is very important. When you enforce righteousness, peace, everybody scream peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This spiritual atmosphere is controlled. The devil can't come in here and do anything he likes. But if you don't pray, and you're not in control of the spiritual atmosphere, then you get confusion. You know, as I'm talking now, one person over there will start screaming in tongues, and that person's down there, the other one will start rolling on the floor, and all kinds of nonsense. They say it's manifesting. A lot of that is, you know, even if there's a demonic problem and all of that, a spoken word. He said he cast out the spirit with his word. We'll deal with it instantly and there'll be peace. Jesus told us, he said, peace! Come out of him! The Bible said, I fell down and shut up. He never encouraged it. You know why? We're not taught. These things, you know. When last year anybody teach on these kind of things? It's not, you know. Because most, Kenneth Hagin used to say this. He said, we, the Pentecostal, you know, we charismatic and word of faith, you know, we know. No, he put it this way. He said, at the beginning of the century, when the Holy Ghost came with John G. Lake and the, you know, E.W. Kenyon and all those ones, they knew quite a bit about the Holy Spirit. He said, my generation, that is Kenneth Hagin's generation, you know, these are guys in the 1930s and the 40s, we also knew a little bit about the Holy Spirit. He said, this charismatic word of faith, he said, know almost zero about the Holy Ghost. I heard him say this. He said, they're not charismatic, they're crazymatic. I laughed my head off. You know, Ken Hagin has a, you know, let's give Ken Hagin a super clap over it. Beautiful sense of humor. He said, they're not charismatic. He said, they're crazymatic. The Holy Ghost isn't crazy. And it's because these things are not properly taught. Now, God help me. Verse 34, we're going to close. Let your women keep silence in the church. This is another controversial thing. For it is not permitted unto them to speak. For they are committed, they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Again, the letter kills, the spirit gives life. He's not saying that women shouldn't talk in church, or that women should not teach. Observe the word woman there, even though it's woman, is in the context of husband and wife. That's why it says, if you will learn anything, let her ask her husband. The problem with the church in Corinth was this. While the service is going on like this, the women, some of the women, you know, without self-control and everything, will be talking to their husband while the pastor is talking, asking questions about what the pastor is doing or what the manifestation is. And you know, it was a new church. You know, they didn't have First Corinthians. Amen. We have it now. So there was a lot of disorderliness in the church at Corinth. And some of the women were a part of this problem because they talked too much. So they would be talking in church with their husbands, you know, and talking about this and talking about that. So that's why Paul wrote this. He did not say that women cannot preach. After all, the same Paul talking about Priscilla and Aquila, and they had a church in their house. The same Acts of Apostles tells us that Philip had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. So if women can't talk in the church, how could Philip's daughters prophesy? You know, that's why the Bible says the letter kills. The spirit gives life. You have to interpret scripture in the light of scripture. So he's talking about a disorderly conduct of wives talking to their husbands and asking about things. So Paul said, if you want to ask anything, when you get home, talk about it. And don't try and usurp authority over your husband or in the church, you know. But he's not saying that women should not talk at all in the church. But he's, because this thing was rife in Corinth. You know, women all open their mouths in the middle of the, like I'm talking now, you know. And then you have two women who are just talking at the back there. Or one is talking to her husband over there. And this one is talking over there. You can imagine the kind of confusion it will create in the church. And that's why he says the next statement, what? Everybody scream it. No, no, you didn't say it. Well, like Paul said it. What? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it only to you? Now, are you the originators of the word of God? You know, there was a great church. They came behind in no gift and in utterance. So it was, but it, a lot of things were not properly being done properly. That's why he had to write this letter. You know, it's good you have gifts, it's good you have zeal, but you have to do it, you know, with knowledge. If any man think himself to be a prophet, you know, we have a lot of that today. A lot of our people think themselves to be prophets. I like the way the Holy Ghost put it. You know, a lot of people, they're not really prophets, but they think they are prophets. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write, all these things I've been talking about, love, prophecy, tongues, all these things, that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. What that means is that what I've given you here is the correct understanding of the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of prophecy, tongues, interpretation, both in private and public worship. If after this you are ignorant, that's your fault. Stay ignorant. We got to close. Wherefore, this is a conclusion of the matter, 39 and 40, and we're done. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. You know, you're not supposed to covet. Bible says, thou shalt not covet. But the same Bible now says, you are allowed to covet prophecy because it is so precious. I said this last week and I'm going to repeat it. Prophecy is the key to revelation. Revelation is the key to power. That's why you've got three categories of gifts. You've got the utterance gifts, you've got the revelation gifts, and then you have the power gifts. The way it operates is this. That's why I said covet to prophesy. If you begin to do a lot of prophecy, tongues, interpretation, and all of that, you begin to get revelation. Revelation, when you act upon it, will now release power. That's how it operates. So where do you start? You don't start with power. You start with prophecy. From prophecy, you move to revelation. From revelation, you move to power. You know what our people want to do? They want to jump to power with our prophecy and revelation, and then the devil accommodates them. Come here to prophesy. I didn't hear you. And forbid not to speak in tongues. I wish our Baptist brethren had read that, Pastor Andrew. You're from the Baptist church. You know, you read the Bible upside down. You know, do all speak in tongues? The Bible says, forbid not. He knows the importance of it. Verse 40. Let all things what? Let all prophecy, tongues, interpretation, worship, everything we do in church, let all things be done how? Decently and in order. Selah. Stand to your feet. We sang this song last week, but I'm going to sing it again because it's really relevant. Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Welcome you.
Holy Spirit,
we welcome you. Move amongst us, glory to God. With holy fire. As we lay aside. Earthly desire. Hands reach out. And our hearts. Aspire.
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Lord, Holy Spirit.
Oh, thank you.
Holy Spirit,
Lord, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
We welcome you.
We welcome you.
Let the wind of your presence.
Let the wind.
Let the wind
of your presence.
Of your presence blow.
Of your children.
That your children hear.
Your children
might truly know.
Truly know
how
to move
in the Spirit,
Red flow,
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Lord, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Lord, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit.
We welcome you. Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand to God. Let the wind
let
of your
the
presence.
Wind
the wind
of your presence.
Of your presence blow.
That your children.
Your children.
Children know.
True.
How.
In the Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Lord, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Lord, Holy Spirit,
Holy
Spirit,
we welcome you.
Raise that hand to God. We're going to pray in a minute. I want you to talk to God personally. Say, Holy Spirit, come and teach me how to move in your flow. And it starts, I'm telling you from my personal experience, it starts personal in your private place of worship. See, a lot of people don't worship God at home. They only worship when they're in a group. You must learn to worship God as an individual. Take a song that you know that is, the words are good. Speak, sing it in English. Then sing it in tongues. And then whatever interpretation comes, don't worry. You can make mistakes. That's how you, because it's like learning how to drive. It doesn't matter. Sometimes it will rhyme, sometimes it may not rhyme. But you will find that you begin to develop sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Then when you now come to a public assembly, because you have done that preparation at home, when the Spirit is moving, you will know. When it's not moving, you will know. I remember my wife, as a young Christian, you know, when we go to a meeting, you know, the IVC or whatever, when they're preaching, she just tell me, she said, honey, the anointing has left. That man is just talking his own now. How did she know? Because she used to pray a lot in private. If you pray a lot in private, you will have sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And nobody can bamboozle you. You can't go somewhere and they just, you know, fake Holy Ghost, fake word of knowledge. You will immediately know it's fake. Raise that hand. I'm trying to pick something. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit. Yes. Thank you, Lord. There is coming a restoration of the power of the Holy Spirit, greater than anything that has ever been seen before on the earth. This will be greater than what was in the Acts of the Apostles. It will be greater than what happened in Azusa Street or in Topeka, Kansas, or even in the healing revivals of the 1940s or the charismatic move of the 1960s. But this is going to be a pure move. A move of righteousness, a move of love, a move of holiness. Only vessels, holy vessels, will be allowed to carry what is coming. What has been contaminated and corrupted in the past will no longer be contaminated or corrupted. For I am preparing a virgin bride. Not just the whole body, but the bride of Christ. who has made herself ready, and whose garments is righteousness. A bride without spot, blemish, or wrinkle, that will carry my glory, that will carry my power, that will carry my revelation, that will carry my wisdom to the ends of the earth. And they will use it in love, not in arrogance, not in pride, not in competition, but in service. And therefore, prepare ye yourselves as holy vessels, meet for the Master's use. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for teaching us the ways of the Spirit. Thank you for letting us know the Holy Spirit is not an author of confusion, but of order. That all things that the Holy Spirit is in charge of are done decently and in order. Father, I repent of ignorance of spiritual things, ignorance of the moves of the Holy Spirit, ignorance of the operations of the Holy Spirit. I repent. I ask for the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. I ask for fresh life and power into my spirit as we pray. Father, I pray, come and teach me your ways. Teach me the ways of the Spirit in private, like you taught David to fight the lion and the bear in private. And then you now brought him out into the open to defeat Goliath. Teach me in my private closet to pray for long in the spirit, to get the interpretation of what I pray, to develop a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. So in public, I can minister as you want me to and bring glory to your name and edification to the church and love and deliverance to humanity. In Jesus' name, amen. Neka shakato fridega, lembrikato frenes. Father, thank you. Zalabrikito lomosha, rikatolo, nangertolo shekikiku, frene, lembrikito frides. Father, thank you. Zalabriklomotolo moshto frides. Lord Jesus, aprikitolo moto frene, lombrodolo moto frides. Lord Holy Spirit, nikito frene, lembrikitolo moto frishe. We thank you for your blood. The briga daga doska frene, your life nere doska frenenga, your power nera tushka frene. Lambriga, lombraga glamatofre, lombrigi tushkofre, lambredes, lombriga glamatolomosha, into our wills, lapricatolomatofrenesa, in and upon our wills, lapricatolomostofres, our minds, rik tushkofrening, dolomatofrenesk, our emotions, nikutolomosha kikotofredeska, our physical bodies, renoskofrening, glamatofreshi, our regional heavenlies, rima tuskofrinengaga, liprishka, insufficient measure, ramera tuskofrininger glamaturusha, in this regard, nera neprotolomatufrede, remastufre, dungurdo glamatufredishka, rintufreduska. In Jesus' name. If you need healing for your body, and the reason for healing is so you can be strong, the glory is called the weight of his glory. If your body is ill, it's going to hinder your ability to move in the things of the Spirit. Just stretch your hands towards your device. If you're watching at home, if you're here, you need healing for your body, just stretch your hand. Father, we release that healing power that is in your word right now in Jesus' name into the physical bodies of those whose hands are stretched forth. Lord, to effect a healing and a cure, we come against the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of fear, the spirit of doubt, the spirit of oppression and depression. We cast you out. Destroy your works. Resist and we bind you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord Holy Spirit, we thank you. Let's give the Lord a super clap off.